Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 229 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from Jesse Baring's book, The Incredible Afterlives of Dr. Stevenson, one scientist's epic quest for evidence of reincarnation, apparitions, poltergeist, and other matters of the soul. When I've guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from a chapter titled Life Leaves Scars. And this is what Jesse has written. The second volume of Reincarnation and Biology homed in on more obvious malformations. Our concern is now, Ian segued to this content, with such gross birth defects as absence of digits and parts of the arms, legs, ears, or other organs. Apart from the gravity of these conditions, they are less easily attributed to an acausal coincidence than our birthmarks. Frankly, there are, in my opinion, several such cases that do seem to demand of materialists what one parapsychologist called a ludicrous straining of probability. The case of Lekpal Jatav is just one case. The sixth of eight children born to a poor farming family in a village of northern India, Lekpal was born without the phalanges, fingers, of his right hand. There were some nubs where the fingers were meant to be, and some rudimentary nails on a few of them. But the little stumps themselves were, as x-rays arranged by Ian revealed, completely boneless. Ian went back several generations on both sides and could find no one else in the boy's family with such an abnormality, or, in fact, any birth defects at all. Sure, he'd come into this world a few weeks early, in his mother's eighth month of pregnancy. But fingers and toes are fully developed by the 10th week, and Lekpal's gestation had been a completely uneventful, drug-free affair. Unlike the right one, the boy's left hand was normal. This alone was surprising, noted Ian. Brachydactyl, or short fingers, is a well-known, usually heritable birth defect, yet the type shown in this case was exceedingly rare. Usually, both hands are affected. Bilateral brachydactyl, and the fingers, typically just the middle ones, are short but present, and almost never boneless. It's rare enough in that more common form, about one in every 40,000 births. But cases affecting just one hand are so unusual that Ian could only find a single published case in the medical literature dating back over a century. When the baby was born, someone half joked that he must have been a tax collector in a previous life, a job known locally by the Hindi phrase Lekpal, with an irate taxpayer cutting off the money, grubbing fingers of his dominant hand. So, for better or worse, mostly worse, I think, the boy's parents named him Lekpal. When Ian met him in the early 1980s, he was impressed by the boy's adaptation to his disability. Watching on as the friendly 10-year-old tied the rope of a buffalo to a post with the help of his inchoate appendage. But he learned that Lekpal had had a rough early childhood. The boy became severely ill when he was just a year old. It's unclear what was wrong with him exactly, but whatever it was involved vomiting, diarrhea, and fever. The fever part might be key to this story, as well as others in his collection of reincarnation cases. Sounding much like Frederick W.H. Myers, Ian suggested that fevers may open mental barriers that ordinarily kept memories of previous lives in the unconscious levels of the mind. In such instances, the imaged memories, not to be confused with imagined memories, of a prior existence may flicker more noticeably against the backdrop of consciousness. Lekpal's sickness lingered those first few years of his life. He was weak, a slow learner, and didn't speak with full effectiveness until he was four. Nevertheless, he said enough to spook his family, and it had nothing to do with being a tax collector. The child kept repeating the words towel, towel, and described to his older sister how his fingers had gotten chopped off in some machine. He mentioned that he was with his uncle when it happened, or at least used the word cha-cha, which is the Hindi term for a father's younger brother. He pleaded to go home to Tal and said that he was worried about his real mum. Lekpal and his family lived in a village called Nagla Devi, but there was another village 5 miles away called Nagla Tal. Unless there was a social event, there was no reason for people of either village to travel to the other. They were each off small arterial routes connecting to the Grand Trunk Road, a major transport route linking Bengal and Delhi, and neither was of commercial importance. On one occasion, though, a woman from Nagla Tal attended a wedding in Nagla Devi and had noticed at the ceremony a woman holding a young child with a malformed hand. That child, of course, was Lekpal, who was 1.5 years at the time. The wedding guests informed the mother that, strangely, there was a little boy from her village, Nagla Tal, who'd lost his hand in a fodder chopping machine and, wouldn't you know, he died shortly before Lekpal was born. The dead boy was named Hukum Singh. When Hukum was 3, he'd stuck his right hand into the machine as his dad was busy shredding maize stalks, probably thinking he was helping with the farm chores. The crescent blades instantly severed all his fingers. Hukum's horrified father rushed him to the local hospital. The digits couldn't be reattached, but he was treated and sent home, his hand wrapped in bandages. 10 months later, the mangled appendage had completely healed. Tragically, however, Hukum then died from an unrelated illness. He unexpectedly passed away in his father's arms one night while he was being carried home from the doctor's office. His still grief-stricken mother told Ian that she'd cried so much she thought she was going to lose her eyesight. The two families were completely unknown to one another, but as whispering residents of both villages began to put 2 and 2 together, or at least believe they were doing so, word spread to Hukum's parents. Finally, at age 5, Lekpal made the short trip to Nagla Tal. Under leading questions, Ian emphasised, Lekpal seemed to recognise members of Hukum's family and knew where on the farm the accident with his hand had occurred. He also pointed out the very spot on the road just outside the village where, 10 months after the hand accident, he died in his father's arms. You may have noticed one discrepancy in the story, which is that little Lekpal said he'd been with his uncle, a cha-cha, when his fingers got cut off, when in fact Hukum had been trying to help his father with the farm chores. But Hukum's dad was called cha-cha by everyone in the house, which was shared by the extended family. So Lekpal's use of this particular term, wrote Ian, was correct from the perspective of Hukum. We do have to wonder about the sequence of events. If the wedding guest from Nagla Tal, for example, planted that seed in Lekpal's mother's head before he began talking about the previous life, which appears to be the case, it's easy to imagine such information colouring his own beliefs about his missing fingers. Ian was aware of this obvious rejoinder, but he believed the boy hadn't heard anything of the precise details he shared spontaneously. Some persons who have heard of a case of this type have suggested that the subject's statements and associated behaviour are invented to explain a birthmark or congenital malformation the subject may have, he wrote. I think that this may happen in a few cases, but I have studied several in which I think it did happen. The case of Lekpal was not one of those. Today I was reading from Jesse Baring's book, The Incredible Afterlives of Dr. Stevenson, One Scientist's Epic Quest for Evidence of Reincarnation, Apparitions, Poltergeists, and Other Matters of the Soul. And if you want to buy this book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.